the bleeper screecher just blipped for a second in my ear, and I'm just... Never mind. Doc's not coming, I reckon. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the stuff that's gone on in Apple, all the big shiz, all the things that haven't happened since the keynote's finished and disappeared, but there is a load of really, really cool stuff that's come our way. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, usual team. Starting us off, top left, it's Patrice.
Howdy.
How's it going, brother?
Actually, pretty good, actually. I have another bridging day. So I had yesterday off, I have today off, I have the weekend off, so
Jesus.
Back to the office on Monday.
Oh,
it's Germany, what else can you say about it?
I've said it many times, but I have no clue how you fought a war through April, May and June.
Well, you know, the secret is, probably with any other public holiday, I mean, you basically work like crazy the days before so that you can then take the days off.
Oh,
so,
right.
I mean,
the last
couple of weeks have been crazy.
Oh, do you hear my tiny violin?
Weren't there, correct me if I'm wrong historically, but weren't there just like long periods where both sides were just kind of hunkered down in their trenches with nothing going on? Maybe those are the bridging days. They're like... All right, it's time off.
Maybe that is.
How would you know? You weren't there.
Everybody stop fighting.
That was World War I. How would you know?
We're on holiday.
World War I, mate. You weren't there. You turned up for the fireworks and then left.
Hey, man. Best part.
Just so I don't get emails that say that I'm a xenophobic wanker. I thought I'd give you some too. Adam, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Yeah, all right, mate. Swimming pool fix yet? That is an ongoing saga, you know, mate, for us.
Yeah, actually, the guy did come today and fix the pump, or yesterday and fix the pump, rather. So I think we're all good.
Cool.
We're good.
How have you been? Have you been playing with iOS 11 and messing around?
Oh God, no.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that's thin enough. Fair enough.
No, I mean, I'm in that camp where I'm getting to the point where I may put it on my iPad Pro, but all my other devices are pretty much production critical for me, so I don't mess with that stuff until it gets later in the cycle.
James, you have been messing around with it. How are you doing? James Rickards from RenderBots.
Bonjour, monsieur. Yes, I have been playing with it, and it's now off my iPod because I was having a lot of fun with it, actually, and then suddenly, I don't know what happened, but my iPad Pro just decided that it no longer wanted to charge anymore. So I kept it plugged in overnight, and it just wouldn't come back on. So did a restore, and then back to the old one. But I was having a lot of fun with it. That keyboard is stellar. I mean, once you get used to hitting that key and just dragging your finger down for that extra character, it's game over. But meanwhile, I've done my first iPhone screen changeover.
Oh, right. Did you manage to get your touch button back without the error 53 crap?
Oh, I haven't managed to get it back on yet, mate. it's just rubbish.
He's only halfway through.
In the first place. Seriously, 10 years at Apple working, and I never went in the Genius Bar. I wasn't allowed. They wouldn't let me. I decided to do my own £12 sort of horrible Chinese thing, and I shouldn't bother. So there you go. Adventures with me, but
well, the nearest Apple store to you is probably Paris, isn't it?
We've got one in Bordeaux, and one in Nantes, I think it's one of them. But yeah, there's plenty around us, but it's, I'm talking about,
I think it's pronounced Nantes, but okay.
It's not worth it. It's a 5C. It's my son's. He's got a 5. I've got a 7, which
is excellent. Who cares? 5C, I want to big up Apple at Touchwood. Because they swapped my phone. My camera stopped working. Just complete blank screen for no reason. And I took it in, and there was a lad named Alex there who was ex-Royal Marine, good lad. And he said, I said, I want it changed. He went, no, we're going to repair it. I said, no, come on, I want it changed. And he said, I said, it's a warranty failure. I'm not coming back. I want it changed. And in the end, one of the managers said, yeah, all right, we'll change it. So
you had to fight a little, though, right?
Sorry?
You had to dig in a little, though, right?
They're not
like it wasn't as easy as it used to be.
Well, there's two things around that. Number one, they're not going to brown box as easily as they used to. And number two, the brown box is a frigging white now.
Right.
Which when you say, I want a brown box, they go, well, we ain't got any brown box because all boxes are white.
Right. Same thing, though. But I mean, that used to be the standard procedure, and I'm finding more and more, and I'm hearing more and more that, yeah, you know, it's like, nope, you got to send it in. You got to be without your device for several days. They'll, you know, politely, they'll ship it straight back to you if you want, or you can choose to come back into the store and pick it up. But yeah, it's much less convenient, well, even on AppleCare, yeah, warranty stuff, which I don't know that I like.
Well, the thing is that, you know, obviously I stopped working at Apple 6 months ago, and you know, things were starting to get a case where once it's scanned into the system, you really, you know, you were dealt with the iOS in front of you. You could only do what that screen would let you do. And randomly, it would just say, no, actually, in this case, we want this to go to depot or go be sent off, etc. So, you know, the convenience is going to be very much dictated by what that little machine says. And of course,
exactly,
not always are you going to get a manager to override that. You know, all managers really want you to have a great experience. So that's the best thing about Apple is if you saw how hard the guys worked to make sure that you had a good experience, I don't think you'd believe it. I've never seen it in any business. I worked for Bose for a few years, and that was an amazing experience. But the management level isn't the same. They certainly aren't the same. And when it comes to Apple, they bend over backwards. But it's not always about let's swap it out. You know, let's try and get to a solution for you that's amicable. You know, and that's good for you. So I'm glad they switched over for you, Ewan, because Solihull, I've worked with a lot of those guys there. They're really good folks. So it's good news.
Here's the thing. It's not the frontline people. I don't even think it's the people on the, you know, management side of retail. I think what's happening, unfortunately, is it feels like retail used to have a lot of their own kind of control, and they had more ability to do things, and it's corporate that is cracking down on the system and tightening the reins. And I don't know if that's Angela. I don't know if that's coming from higher up. But I think personally, at the end of the day, the problem is it ties the hands of the retail people to, you know, it's like they're not trusting them anymore to make good, informed decisions. And they're the ones on the front line who would be, I think, better equipped to decide these things. And it's setting just like general corporate policy. So it's starting to push back and feel more like the experience you would expect at, say, a Microsoft store or a Samsung store. You know, it's far away from being that, but it feels like it's moving in that direction. And that's the only thing that I'm concerned about is, you know, like, trust your people. You hire great people, just like you're saying. Yeah. Everybody at my Apple retail stores on the front lines, from the geniuses to the people working the floor and everything, they're wonderful, awesome, smart, intelligent people for the most part. You know, there's a few exceptions, but, you know, in the realm of retail, they're amazing. And, you know, Apple just seems to be tying their hands more, and it's degrading, I think, that great experience that you used to get. It's just different now.
It's a lot more curries and a lot less Apple.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. you know, I wouldn't say
there's a long way further down. No, there's a long way down. I mean, if we're in Dante's layers of hell, mate, you know, we're only at one. We're not at the bottom.
Right. Yeah. I'm not saying like it's gone all awful. It's still the best retail experience out there that I think you can get. Yeah, but no. All I'm saying is I'm seeing these seeds of change, and it's changing in a way that I think is moving the wrong direction.
But I think that's business in general. And there's an awful lot of this that I come across as well in my general working life. And people are forgetting that not everything that counts can be counted. That old Einstein phrase is definitely valid in terms of the way that you deal with the human perception of your worth within a business. But there's the awful phrase, because it's easier to manage, which I think is horrific as a statement to make, based on personal value. And also there's the fact that there's an awful lot, I do an awful lot with government agencies, and they have to justify why they're spending that money in that direction, and that's all there is to it.
I still think, though, if you've got somebody who goes in who's as a nurse or who's a fireman or who's in armed services, they've come in and they've genuinely, you know, the phone's dropped or whatever, you know, Apple can do their absolute best to get that device back to you. They know how important it is. It's part of your day. You know, we obviously, I worked in Birmingham to the Children's Hospital, which was close by. And, you know, we had a lot of nurses come in, you know, and generally just come off night shift or just can't seem to get an appointment at all. The G Spy, which is obviously a thing that's kind of echoed throughout the world. And, you know, when you have those cases, it's just brilliant that we can turn it around and go, yeah, let's get you that phone back in your hand. It's just brilliant.
That is good. But that's you. That's you. How much of that is you and how much of that is Apple? That's the point, James.
Well, I think it starts with me because I'm that point of contact. But I think everybody has to be dealt with individually.
Yeah, unless that's Apple policy, it's not Apple, it's you.
I don't know, because I think, you're making that case to your managers, etc., that actually you think this is the right thing to do. And I think they'll take what you say as kind of gospel. And for me, I wouldn't have worked there if I thought it was just you play by the numbers and it's got to be this. Every case is individual. And if somebody took your MacBook off you now and anything that's Apple, it's like you've lost a leg, I think if they see that, then I did say
to the guy, hang on, this is my phone, I'm not going to leave it here with you. I went, no, it's okay. What I'm saying is come back and we'll do a repair. Repair will be about 2 hours. You'll be without your phone for 2 hours. Just walk around the shopping centre. I don't want to be without my phone for 2 hours. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a nice option they gave you, though.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I mean, like I said, I may get the closed...
Yeah, 2 hours.
I may get the closed clams in a restaurant, but if I am good at fighting my corner, I've got no choice based on my life. But I get... good service from people by just asking questions that says, hang on, just a minute. I did make a point, actually, and I think I'm really on a roll here. Apple needs to buy the space next to Apple stores and turn it into a bar and coffee shop.
Because brilliant.
And let the Wi-Fi go in there. Because the thing is, the number of people that are like, yeah, I'll bring my phone, here you go. You serve food and beer next door. They're going around there for dinner, then they're going to come back and get the phone, they're going to go. And I sat there, I got my new phone, and it's like, okay, I've got to update the phone and re-download my thing. The speed on the download from Apple is great, but it's still going to take me probably about 40 minutes. But I ended up having to leave there and drive home without a phone that was working because I had nowhere to sit in the Apple store. But if there was an Apple bar next door, I'd have gone next door, I'd have bought myself a coffee and a beer or something like that, and I'd have sat and used their Wi-Fi to reinstall my phone before I'd have gone home. I'd rather have done
see?
That.
I don't know how it is over there, but see here, I would say a large percentage of our Apple retail stores are in malls. So we have exactly that. It's just not Apple run. Like the Apple store that I take mine to, there's a great Mexican place that, I go over and get a margarita and taquitos while they're fixing my stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, what
so I'm perfectly happy.
If you were next door, then you'd get the Apple Wi-Fi, because the Apple Wi-Fi is like, wham, it's
right.
It's supercharged.
No, I get what you're saying.
So, if you get that, that would be. Tim, you're missing the trick. I know he listens to this show. Just said Tim. All right, no worries.
It'd be Angela you want to talk to.
No, dude, that's a bit condescending when you belly laugh at me saying something like that. It really just upsets me. Because that suggests that Tim doesn't listen to us, and I know he does.
The only problem is, that for the meal, they'd charge you a premium because it would be high scale, and, you'd be paying $10 a beer.
I know that he listens because he sends me emails, like, oh, Christ, you and you're a wanker.
but it'd come in a really nice glass, that $10 beer.
Oh, what? Yeah. Oh, no, not the jism, right, got you. That came out wrong.
Whoa.
Scott Forstall is going to discuss the creation. Would you pay for this? Would you pay to listen to Scott Forstall talk at the Computer History Museum about the initiation of the iPhone?
I think it's interesting. I think, he started off as from what we believe is to be Steve Jobs' sort of right-hand man on all the projects. So I think he's got a lot of things to say. And I certainly would definitely... sort of pay to listen to what he had to say. I know he's been chucked down and done lots of weird things since, but I still, some of the conversations he must have with Steve Jobs were brilliant and never been published. Yeah. He's never spoken a lot about it, and I would happily sit there and listen to what he had to say, totally.
How much? That's the question.
$50.
We get it free, I think. If you
there, you go.
And you can always go and see his Broadway musical, Fun Home, which he helped produce, wow, how random's that?
Yeah, he's become a Broadway producer.
A successful Broadway producer, or?
I didn't say that.
Okay, yeah.
The question is it Broadway? Is it off-Broadway? Is it off-Broadway? Which one is it?
I want to say it was either off or off-off.
The only way that Broadway appeared in it was in the program. Now, I find Forstall an incredibly... he's not an incredibly interesting person to me, that's not what I'm saying, but it's an incredibly interesting period of history in the Apple evolution, because mm-hmm. you had him integrated with Jobs, and they were very, very close. And then all of a sudden, it just dismantled. It rapidly went to... And you had all of the, the leather effect off the plane and stuff like that. What did he call it?
Yeah.
Schism. No, not schism.
Skeuomorphism.
Skeuomorphism. And it was just kind of like, mm-hmm. oh, what on earth is that about? And actually, when it first came out and you got the leathery bit, you were like, oh, that's cool. And then Johnny Ive came along and went, what the hell? And he gave us the clean stuff. And you're like, yeah, all right, skeuomorphism was crap.
they still can't get it out of GarageBand though, which cracks me up.
Yeah, true. But I can't get over that I want an autobiography from this guy that says, here's what happened from the minute Steve Jobs stopped controlling the corporation to the point that I left. Because I bet that is salacious reading.
Yeah. I think we all wanted to know what happened there. I think Apple, you know, he just released Siri. That was a big thing. Siri was just sort of coming onto the scene as well. So the 4S was just about to be released. Siri was demonstrated live on the thing. And I would love to have seen that, quite like echo what you say with you. And I'd love to find out what happened next.
If that never gets written, I will die an unhappy man. Because I just want to know. No, I want to know. It's one of those things that's just like, where's Lord Lucan? Where's Shergar? To Forstall?
Maybe he'll talk about it and we'll get the story.
I don't think he will. I think he's got a clause in his contract that he'll end up with electrodes on his testicles in the basement of Apple.
How long has it been now? I mean, it might be a fact that it could be a 5 or 10 year clause that you can't say anything. Other than that, he's doing out respect for Steve.
2012, October 2012, so he's short of 5 years at the minute.
So yeah, I mean, we may see something on the fifth year, which obviously would be good. But again, it's that same thing. You and if he kind of released an autobiography, you know, I'd be there like a shot. Absolutely, probably one of the best stories to come out for a long time.
I hope they make this into a podcast and they put it out on the web, because if you want live tickets, it's Tuesday between 7 and 9 p.m. Pacific time at the museum's Exponential Theatre.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting.
Should be good.
I thought we'd spend a lot less time on that story, but actually it is quite an interesting one. And it's only interesting on the basis that you've got to get him to spill the beans. If he sits there and he just comes out with some bland shit, people are going to be stood up going, no, I want the dirt and just...
That was what happened.
I want the dirt. Show me the dirt. Show me the dirt.
Did you really like Johnny Ive?
Oh, elevator conversations with Johnny Ive, please. Please. Tim Cook confirms Apple's focus on autonomous driving systems. Apple CEO Tim Cook has spoken to Bloomberg to clarify for the first time the company's intentions in the automotive market. We're focusing on autonomous systems, said Cook in an interview with Bloomberg. It's a core technology that we view as very important. I thought that was incredibly interesting as a quote. We're focusing on autonomous systems.
Yeah, because they're going to build a car service, like I said a long time ago.
Yeah, no, I think that confirms they're not building a car.
No, they're building a car service.
Everyone's gone on about the Apple car, but I think that confirms they're not building an Apple car. He's on about the autonomous service. Autonomous
system. Right. I mean, as with anything Apple is saying and doing, they are not focusing on it probably right now, but they might be focusing on it in a year.
I think they're focusing on it right now,
and it's not a car. That's what I take.
Right? No, I think they're looking to compete with Uber and all those other guys and get first out with an autonomous car service.
No,
you subscribe. Yes. I think that's why they invested in Didi Chung, and they'll probably roll it out in China first.
I think it's a case of they've hired all those people, and they want to show, as you look at the stocks and shares at the moment, they're up and down like it. I mean, they're the highest point at the moment for a long time. and they still want those shareholders to know they're still in the game. And sort of by saying that, it kind of says, oh, okay, then maybe are still working on it. I think Apple still needs to keep that narrative that the car industry is something they're interested in, and yeah, they've got enough people working on it that I think personally it's all about software, whether they give it to other companies, they auction it off to different companies, etc. I think it's all about keeping that idea alive that they're still interested in the automotive stuff.
They've got their mapping vehicles driving around to collect data so that they can feed that data into their autonomous vehicle service system. So they're developing the system for moving the cars around. They're developing the mapping system and the data to help drive it all. And I think that's what they're gunning for. Because I do think that's how transportation is going to change. I think at a certain point, there's going to be a large percentage of people that don't own cars anymore. And your Apple Watch and everything knows where you are. You can order up a car, get it to you, have it take you where you want. You don't have service fees. You don't have to deal with the registration. Here, you know, smog regulation, all that other stuff goes away. I think they see that as long-term future thing. It's not going to happen immediately, but I think that's what they're driving toward.
I fully agree. I mean, I think what most people think if they talk about the Apple Car, they really think about, okay, a car that I can own. But I agree with Adam that this is probably more a Uber-like service. The thing you have to remember is, if you want to go for an autonomous car, the biggest hurdle, the biggest issue, and I mean, I think in general in the future, the biggest thing within a car will be software. It's all software. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the Tesla. Everything is basically software. The hardware is, yes, it's hard to do, but that is something Apple can partner with someone else. I mean, there were, I think a year or two ago, there were rumors that they were looking into, I mean, partnering with BMW or, I mean, maybe even with Tesla, mm-hmm. who knows? But getting that software right first, I think, is the thing. And that's why they are focusing on the autonomous car platform, basically, or the system right now.
The reason it's not an autonomous car is, first of all, A, it would cost too much. B, it wouldn't work unless you got your phone with you. And C, it wouldn't work unless your ass was stuck to the seat and they had a print of your ass. That's where the ignition system is. It's in the seat.
And D, it would use Siri, so you would never end up where you wanted, right?
Oh, you're so hard.
Yeah, no, no matter what I said to it for directions, it would go, here's a cinema near you. And that would be, no, guys, I've clocked it. That's why they got rid of Forstall. They knew, because he was the guy he was fired over Apple Maps, wasn't he? So that's what it was all about. So you sit in the car and you go, take me to Lake Placid, and you actually end up in the lake.
Right. Yes.
Are you enjoying the new Siri? You haven't tried the new Siri voice, have you?
Me, no.
A lot of people say they like the new Siri voice. I can't tell a lot of difference. Or it's a different voice, I understand that, but I don't see a great deal more of...
When they... In the little demo they played during the keynote, it sounded a lot more natural to me.
It
sounds like it's taking a breath. I think you're hearing that whole pause. So I think it's very important. We don't realize it when we talk. Some of us take a pause. Sometimes that's what you're getting, you're actually hearing that, which is quite nice.
And some people just talk for half an hour without taking a breath.
Kelly, Leo Laporte. Kelly, if you're listening, I hope you will.
No way.
Kelly.
Apple is aiming to make itself the de facto one-stop shop for medical information. That's a proud boast, isn't it? Apple wants the iPhone to serve as a comprehensive health repository, not suppository, keep it out your ass, for every iPhone user, keeping track of medical data like doctor's visits, lab reports, and medications and more, says CNBC. This is your field of expertise, Patrice. I mean, how are you seeing iPhone and development around iPhone influencing your business?
I think it's a big influence, or it's getting to a point where it's a big influence. I mean, patients or people in general are taking care more of their health and taking also really taking charge of their data and I mean their treatment. and the iPhone. I mean, I think they introduced this last year with iOS 10 that you can basically store if you have, I mean, if you're a medical device company or, I don't know, medical, any kind of medical provider, you can really store patient data within the health app. I mean, given user consent. I think this is a global trend. I mean, this is happening. People are really, even, I mean, the patient is usually the one person who is transferring data from one doctor to another, from one specialist to the hospital and so on. Because we're still not there yet in terms of having a, I would say, unified health system where data is easily transferred between systems.
Would you say that the influence on health and people's care of their own health is something that's just of an age where they would want to do it, or of the age that we're currently living in? Or is it directly as a result of the fact, because they can trap it, because they can map it, because they can see the benefits, because it's goal-oriented, more people are switching on to it? I certainly think, if you look at our Slack room, there's a lot of people mm-hmm. are very proud at showing off how they filled their rings for the whole month. excusing the snub. Shut up, Molo. You've got a secret to out in a minute, mate. Because Muller, right, after slagging off the Apple Watch for the last 2 years, has bought a frigging Apple Watch because his winnings POS is finally misted to hell. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. To your point, Ewan, yeah, it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, one, it's with all the technology and I mean, all the information surrounding us, I think it's easier. And it's also something that is, I think, our age. We are deeply into the information age, and so I think it's a little bit of well, the possibility due to technology, but also that the society has changed to that level.
Yeah.
I mean, just remember, it was impossible, next to impossible, or very hard to, I mean, get access or even understand any kind of medical documents. They were usually encoded in some coding system that only really professionals could even read, let alone that you would usually not even get access to your own medical file. And nowadays, I mean, you enter whatever you get told, enter it into Google, and you get a result, and you get all the information, even sometimes more information than a doctor has, about what's going on. And I think this is a big, big difference. And the iPhone, or I mean, the iPhone and also Android and any other device really is making a big difference there, because I just heard in a podcast today there's an app for, I mean, if you have a baby, usually you track the weight, or even during the pregnancy you track the weight of the mother and also the blood pressure, and this is usually done when you visit the doctor's office. And now you can basically, I mean, with all the technology that we have, you can have, I mean, daily or even hourly in track information there. I mean, you can really track what's going on and if there is any kind of issue. And I mean, in, I think, 10-20% of cases that can happen, or to 10-20% of pregnancies, I mean, the doctor can, or even the emergency services can be informed right away. If there's something going on, basically you can inform your OBGYN, and if he says, yeah, this is serious, then you can, I mean, right away inform any kind of ER or emergency service, and get help. And I think this is huge, because I mean, usually how often do you visit your doctor, even within even if you're pregnant, it's every couple of weeks. So having this data in between those visits is also huge.
Yeah. Do you boys fill your rings regularly?
I'm trying.
Mm. I don't walk up and downstairs like I used to try and fill them. I know lots of people will go for a midnight walk, you know, it's just 10 minutes before midnight, you're running around the place. I think I'm over it, you know, I think I'm over that. That's what it is.
I think the rings are a great... they're a great kind of motivator, and you know, people have, I've spoken to people who said, oh, I just put my my calorie burn up from 700 or 600, whatever it is, as the default. I've just put it up to set it to 850, or I've just put it up to 1500, and I just keep going till I filled it, and I've lost 3 stone this year. And you're like, Jesus, wow, well done. And it's just a case of, like you said, they go out for the, I haven't got enough going on, so for the next 30 minutes I'm off, and that's it, and up and running.
I still think,
unless you've got yours on your wrist, though, I really struggle with mine, because I used to put mine in my bag, and I used to carry the bag when I played golf, and it always used to give me full credit for me steps. But now I've got it in a trolley, and I'm walking, but it's in a bag. It gives me zero. It gives me absolutely nothing when I play golf. So I think it's
something, the whole you know, like the Xbox sort of system of giving you achievements all the time. I still think it's something that Apple could do a lot more with, a hell of a lot more with, because that's what people want, is motivation. And whether they can incorporate some sort of coach on there, that's because I've downloaded lots of apps recently all about coaching, and they're all like $5.99, $6.99 a month. So subscription based. I think Apple's missing a trick. They obviously, you can pick these coaches and they'll take you through certain exercises to make sure you're achieving your goals, but I think Apple really missed a trick here, that they can do a lot more with achievements and sort of, you know, encourage us to be a bit more healthy.
I think they need to get that new app from Planet of the Apps.
Oh, I missed that.
Have we watched Planet of the Apps?
I have. I've watched the first two episodes.
Oh, so please, because I can't bring myself to watch it. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. It's total junk.
I have two eyes to poke out with sharp sticks before I get to that. So go ahead.
Oh no, it's total junk.
What? Yes. Oh, no. We said that.
It's all right. I mean, it's app developers doing pitches, and there's some interesting app ideas, but is it compelling television? No, it's really not. I mean, does it hold up? I've never been into shows like, I'm not that into reality TV though, so maybe I'm not the right person to ask. You know, like, I've maybe watched Shark Tank once in my life and
you
thought it was junk too.
So, you are incredibly tactful there, Adam, because I saw it as just a piece of shit from the start.
Did you watch it?
Yep.
No, I just watched the trailer and thought, this is a piece of shit. This is Gwyneth going, why am I not the only person on stage? And Zayn sitting there going, I'm a DJ. What the hell do I know about apps?
Yeah, I mean, the most interesting person to kind of watch is Gary.
Yeah.
Vaynerchuk. And then the one part I do sort of find interesting, just because I've always been curious about it, is when they actually do the pitch and sort of listening to the venture people and how they sort of process things, and then just realizing that it's exactly what I thought, which is like they don't even know what the heck they're doing either.
Venture capital,
you know,
is
just like it's all the same like buzzword junk, and it just sort of validates a lot of the things that I think the show Silicon Valley makes fun of. It's kind of funny to see the archetypes and all that sort of stuff, and go, wow, they're just kind of like spot on. Like, it's just all, to use one of your phrases, all bollocks.
Good man. I'm so
people
proud.
People talking out of their butts, right? Everybody's just guessing at this stuff and hoping something works.
The word you're looking. Stop saying assholes and say arseholes. Say it properly. It's your ass, not your ass.
Teach them bad things. This is not good.
Mate, I am so proud of... Oh, I've lost my video.
Yeah.
Muller, can you turn me back on, please, mate?
What have I done?
No, don't turn me on. That's not what I meant.
Oh, right.
Can you turn the video camera on? This video camera. Is it off? It's off. I've got no screen.
Yeah.
Don't touch them.
Have you managed to unplug me?
I've watched the first episode, and I mean, yeah, what Adam said. I mean, Will.i.am was pretty much useless. I mean, he might...
Oh, my God, that was that horrible? Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like him as a partner was just like, he was just like throwing every idea at this poor app developer, and the app developer can't say no to him. And so he's just like implementing. And that's this app that I'm talking about. It's called like Trax Battle Squad or something like that. They renamed it. They redesigned it. It actually looks like an interesting thing. So getting back to, you know, James's sort of thing was it's all about exercise. And basically you're trying to like create this. You have a pet. and the more you exercise, the more you power up sort of your pet, and then you can have the pet, like, battle your other friend's little pets. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to gamify the whole, you know, at another level. And but I think you're right, though. That's the reason everybody got excited about this was Apple does need to sort of gamify a little bit more. The, you know, the rings are great, but, mm-hmm. you know, taking it to the next level. And this is at least an attempt, an idea of sort of taking that concept to the next level. And I think the guy had a great idea, and maybe it's a little bit better now, but it was just kind of crazy to watch how that went down. Sorry, Patrice, I kind of jumped in there.
No, I mean, fully agree. This was exactly what I thought. I mean, as I said, Will.i.am, he was just sitting there, basically not even participating much, just, I mean, like a grumpy old guy, basically. And I didn't get it. I mean, why is he here? He's a good musician. He's a good producer. But he definitely doesn't have to be on stage. I mean, they could have found someone else to do it. So I don't get that part.
I think this is great homework for next time we're on. Because I need to watch this too. I think we should all just, like, you know, maybe sit and watch an episode and comment.
Watch
the first one and then.
I watched the trailer and thought, this is car crash television. This is awful.
Yeah.
It is. No, that's you're spot on. That's exactly what it is.
The amount of money they must have paid to get Will.i.am, Gwyneth Paltrow, what the fuck is she on? I mean, just, I can't understand
what do you mean?
Why she's there. I mean, she doesn't...
She has a very successful company, internet company. Is it called Gloop or Goop or something like that?
I get that, but what does she know about developing... What does she know about
That's all app-based. I mean, that's what the company's all about.
I mean, it's like the... I can't remember her name, but there's one of the actresses has got like a cosmetics firm, and you're like, okay, but at least she could learn about cosmetics. But I don't believe that.
You need to watch it, Ewan, because she's probably the most, after Gary, probably the most qualified person on there.
Yeah, I mean, what you have to remember is it's not about developing an app; it's more the business side of it. I mean, yeah, there are parts where you improve your app and all of that, but it's more about the investment, the business, the entire thing, and not about the development. Because the development usually, I mean, all participants there have developed an app; it's already in the store. So I mean, the technical things are solved. It's really more about the packaging, the marketing, and yeah, the money. The
and Gwyneth
money,
has those back. Skills. Based on the last episode that I saw, she was giving some of the best advice to her. And the one app she was involved with probably has the best success of the four or six apps that we've seen so far.
In that case, I will gladly take it back and apologize, Gwyneth. You clearly have talent in this field.
Business. It's the business side of things and the marketing side of things. She's like on top of it.
I apologize, Gwyneth, unreservedly. There we go. I can edit that bit out. Don't worry. So apparently Muller's yanked out my power cable for the camera, so it's been running on battery, and it's a 20-year-old camera, which is why it hasn't got more than about 38 minutes.
I touched your camera.
You did. You pulled the power lead out. I've just put it back in, mate.
Actually, no, I didn't.
Because you yanked at something to get your monitor working. Or maybe I did it. I don't know. First pictures of the alleged iPhone 8. I'm glad Doc's not here because he'd go be mental in there. This is the back case of the new iPhone 8 as it's coming, and the front frame that goes on it, of course. The camera is there confirmed as going vertical. I don't know how real these are or not, but it's a good possibility. And then there's these two here showing two different sizes of back and front. And I don't get why that's shown an orientation that's, unless it's the old set. I didn't read the text along with this, I have to say. But it's showing one horizontal camera and one vertical camera. But they've got to go to vertical.
This could be
augmented reality.
This could be the addition they want to make. Obviously, it's rumored that we're going to have sort of three models. So we're going to have the normal 7, if you like, 7S. And then you've got this Apple edition, 10th anniversary edition, which probably could be that. I mean, if there is going to be three models, I can see why it could be that. There's obviously rumoured about the material being different. Well, so we'll see.
It's interesting as well, though, that if that's the case and you've got the three things in front of you here, you've got a 7S, mm-hmm. a 7S Plus,
And correct.
You've got the 8th anniversary, which cannot have a lesser camera than the 7S Plus, and it's smaller.
Correct.
And it's smaller. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to want the 8.
Exactly. I don't know why you'd make another version. It just seems ridiculous.
It's for price people who are super price sensitive.
So,
because those are going to be the cheaper models.
I remember the rumors about them being ceramic, which is why we have the ceramic Apple Watch come out. And the idea of the Apple ceramic watch was the fact that we're testing to see how it wore through everyday use. And if it was kind of successful in the way it was used, that it would probably be, or act as maybe a base to a new iPhone. It's obviously superconductivity, etc. So maybe we're not seeing this anniversary one yet, and this is just a bunch of fake stuff, which...
No, it's the one on the right is the 8.
Yeah, the one on the right is the 8.
It's no question. Dead on at this point. I mean, I don't think there's any secrets about what it's going to look like. It's going to look exactly... Whether those are the actual parts or just knockoff parts, you know, who knows? They're probably just like knockoff parts, but I have no doubt that that's the design right there.
Is Apple in danger of creating like a Hunger Games society split? With technology. No, I mean, it seriously feels like that. It's like, okay, we'll give you a 7S, which is $1,000, but if you want the 8, it's $50,000. and it'll remind you to wipe your ass after you've been for a shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the marketing strategy is you create this lineup where the one at the top is the one that, you know, because our society has devolved to it's all about keeping up with the Joneses, and so there's a certain segment that will pay anything. I mean, you'll see it because it's going to come out supply constrained, and they're going to be selling for, you know, Apple won't be selling them for that price. There's still going to be a premium, but they're going to be that much on eBay. You know, there's going to be Saudi princes paying $10,000 for an iPhone.
And there's going to be
I've only ever updated my iPhone because of the camera. It's the most important part of the phone for me. Having that camera and be able to make photographs as I want, at the quality I want, it's the only real reason why I update it. It's fast enough.
Yep.
It's been fast enough since the 6, I think. The 6 iPhone was amazing. It was a great leap forward, I think. But the camera always pulls me to the new purchase. And even though this would be the first year I won't be working for Apple, I would happily still pay what it's worth to get a better camera. I can't see really how they're going to improve it other than the AR stuff this time. But we'll see. But that's really the only reason why I would update.
I'm happy with 7 Plus. 7 Plus is great.
See, here's the thing for me is I have the 7 because I don't like the large size. So this is like the perfect upgrade for me because I've been wanting that camera upgrade and wasn't able to get it with the current model. So to have the better camera system in a phone size that is ideal for me, I'm super excited about. So,
yeah, I'm rocking a 7. I love it. When I was commuting, I had the 7, 6S Plus, and it was great for commuting because you can sit, watch your TV programs and videos full screen. But now I don't commute. I dropped down to just a 7 this year, and I love it. I love the form factor. I never thought I would because you're moving out from a big phone to a small one. But it just is it's such a good screen.
Yeah. Well, it's moved from a 7S to a 7 Plus. 7 Plus to a 7 as normal. So
yeah. Exactly. It's a great, it just feels perfect. I mean, I've got a battery pack on at the moment, which I've got issue with Apple. I love my battery pack, but seriously, for some reason, when I'm charging it, it doesn't seem to want to charge very well. I know it's just I've got a dud one, but it's the only product I've kind of want a little bit let down by.
You got my disease, mate.
You
got my disease. You get the raw chicken in restaurants. The Muller's is fine. He's got the hump and he says it's okay.
So, is it? Oh, God. This seems, well, whenever the battery seems to die, I plug it in and it doesn't seem to want to charge, but I take it out of the case and it charges perfectly up.
Take it back.
One of them. Yeah, just nip down.
Magic Man in the chat room saying they tried that with the $10,000 watch and it didn't work.
No. They're not going to sell it for $10,000. What I'm saying is it's going to come out priced at, I think the price is rumored to be around just under 1,000. And then if you want the 512 gigabyte, it's going to be about 1,100 for that model. But they're going to be so supply constrained that they're going to show up on eBay and people will be paying $10,000 on the secondary market. That was my point. Because people are crazy.
Yeah, and then there'll be a big cornucopia that will have Apple products in it with also killing weapons, and the person who wins at the end will get an iMac Pro. That's the way it's going. Spotify is still outstripping Apple Music. They are currently at 140 million users and growing faster thanks to their free tier. Spotify last had over 100 million subscribers in June 2016, so it's gained around 40 million listeners in 1 year to remain the world's largest streaming music service. Does Apple even give a toss, though, about that? Because
yeah, see, that's I'm glad you said that, because that's been my thing on this. Like, why does it matter? Why does there have to be one or the other? Why can't there just simply be both? And Apple's had enough acquisition and I think is making enough money off of Apple Music that it's not really like this competition that the media wants to make it out to be. It's just sort of like you have one or you have the other. Yeah. Whatever works for you.
Or both.
Or both. And some people do have both, I think.
What's really funny is this week I've actually just bought my Apple Music subscription and I've not had it for 6 months. So actually, this week I actually bought Apple Music because I really missed it, and I'm glad I've got it. I think it's a great way of discovering new music, and I've had it for 2 days now, and I'm absolutely loving it. My playlist has grown exponentially. I do give Spotify a chance, but it just didn't feel right. I've got an Apple product, should have Apple Music on it. But yeah, I just renewed my subscription just this week. So there's one more extra you can put to that.
Do you have any figures on Apple subscriptions?
Personally, none.
How many Apple subscribers are there?
I'm trying to remember the number at Worldwide Developer Conference. Like 20 million? Is that right?
I got 23 million in my head. That was the number that I recall, but I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to look at it more than I normally do. But I'm just sitting thinking...
27 million.
27 million, okay. 20. So 100...
Recode.
27 million is nothing in comparison to the number of devices that are sold. And 140 million is actually nothing in comparison to the potential market that's out there for cell phone users globally. So streaming music is not in a good position financially, I would have said.
Yeah, and if you're quoting the Spotify number, I mean, it's still much bigger, but I believe their paid number when they announced those numbers was 50, is that right? 50 million? So of those 140, yeah, they have 50 million paid, or 60 million, somewhere in that range?
Apple's got 27 million paid subscribers.
And how many does Spotify have?
It doesn't say in this story, but yeah, 50 sounds about right.
Yeah, so...
Oh, sorry, 50 million, yes, it does say it, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're both doing well.
In terms of penetration...
I think it's still...
In terms of penetration for the available devices, I think it's pretty shit for all of them. I mean, you sit and go, oh, it's like they're pond feeding. You know, you've got Apple on one side, Spotify on the other. They're battling it out for subscribers, but actually the amount of subscribers that they're fighting over is chicken feed in the global scheme of their potential.
Well, in the market. Well, here's the other interesting thing for Spotify is I believe that they're rolled out in very relatively few countries compared to where Apple Music is rolled out. Hmm. Apple Music's what 140 countries, I want to say. Is that right?
I don't care, but that'll be fine. Yes, I wouldn't. Disagree.
And like Spotify is like not nearly as many far as I remember. So that's another interesting stat to throw into this if you really want to do some apples to apples comparison. But again, that's not really the point. The point is are the music services earning money and enough to sustain themselves, and do they have good content is really what I think most consumers care about. And I love Apple Music, and I tried Spotify and it was fine, but I ultimately decided Apple Music was a better service for me because of how invested I am with Apple stuff, right? But obviously, if I'm on Android or some other platform, Spotify might be the better choice.
Ooh. I think they need to, look at how people who are students, listen to music now. I think you've got the core people like us who like subscription services and don't mind paying for it. and then you've got some families who may have been bought a MacBook for their university or whatever, are actually just using YouTube. I know lots of people before I moved out here, and actually talking to people right here in France, who basically use YouTube. So if, say, Justin Bieber's new song came out, this Spanish one that's at the moment, the kids will just go to YouTube and just stick it on and listen to it via YouTube. They don't actually see it as queuing up. I mean, they can build their own players within YouTube as well. They can look at the history within YouTube as well. And I think that's something that we don't really see or even count, is the fact that, you know, the younger kids definitely will just go to YouTube for everything. And it's listen to it for free. So you know, that's great for them. I think people like us who are still sort of working and want to have it on every device we go to, we don't mind paying for our own stuff because we can. But I think say, the children, you know, 14 below, are using YouTube to listen to music.
My son loves the family sharing, and that's the thing that separates it, definitely. Family sharing is massive.
Yeah, my kids too. But I mean, again, to that point is, I think if they didn't have that, you know, this isn't any different, though, than the last generation where it was, you know, those who didn't have money to spend on music used like Napster or LimeWire or whatever it might be. And then the you know, the adults all, you know, still bought CDs or whatever, or digital music off of iTunes. And then now it's just shifted. It's those people who are doing Napster and LimeWire now have jobs and have money, and they're using subscription music services. And the kids in college and high school who don't are turning to free sources. And the best one out there happens to be YouTube at the moment. So I don't think anything has really changed other than the age of the people and their financial situation.
Fair point. ARKit has hit, most definitely.
And it's brilliant.
There are several videos out there on YouTube if you want to see it. This is one of a guy who walks into his room and goes, "Hello, what are you doing in my room?" Which has got Boom Chicka Wow Wow written all over it, and Porn University as well. But dude, move out from your parents' house, stop eating Cheetos. There's another guy here who goes around his workplace and he puts a really badly drawn plane in the position of where it is and walks around and comes back, and it's very close to where it was originally. And then there's the dude who really gets it and he makes a zombie game, and the zombie is life-size and walking around the guy's house. And it's and a bit of poo came out when I watched that, I have to say. It is brilliant. Absolutely beautifully done. It is incredible. I mean, where this can go and how much it could cost me scares the shit out of me.
I've got a lot to say on this subject. There's a guy at the moment on YouTube. His name is Matthew Hallberg, and actually he has to do with that zombie you're looking at right now. So Matthew Hallberg on YouTube, I don't know him. Uncovered his videos a few days ago, and he's great because what he shows you how easy it is to actually get this stuff implemented. All you need to do is download my train of thought's gone. I think it's the Unreal Engine, and obviously you've got Xcode, iOS 11 device, and using the AR kit now, it's so simple to do tracking stuff. So Matthew Hallberg shows you from start to finish how you can actually implement it, and it's so easy. He's got a game at the moment, and he's basically using the resource of, I think, the Havoc engine, the Unreal Engine, because they've got assets in there already. And he's using Donald Trump, and he's got all these zombies, and you're controlling Donald Trump to build a wall, and the zombies are trying to knock the wall down, and he's got this kind of like bat he hits the zombies with. And it's such an amazing thing. It shows you how to import the assets into it, and relatively, it just makes it look so easy. So definitely check him out. But you're right, Ewan, this is going to be huge, and we are seeing just playground stuff at the moment. We're going to see some seriously good stuff soon.
I've posted the link in the Slack room. If you want to know where that is, it's britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and navigate to the 16th of June, you'll find it. But it is Matthew Hallberg's stuff. Yeah. And the opening bit that he does is just kind of a sample of what you can do. And there's like, this is the stupid part, right? I'm sitting watching this video, and this zombie is walking towards his two dogs. And in my inner child self, I'm going, run, run. Because it's that realistic. It's that good. Yeah. It is brilliant, and the sun is beating in from the left-hand side, and the rendering on the zombie is perfect from left to right when it turns around and that kind of stuff. It is beautifully done, and then he goes into, it's a 13-minute long video, he goes in and shows you how to do the whole thing, tells you what you need to download to be able to do it, and it's brilliant. It is awesome. I cannot wait for the games that are going to come for virtual reality that I won't be able to see on my iPhone because I've got such bad eyesight when I put a thing on.
Well, I've just posted in the chat room as well, the Donald Trump game I just mentioned. Pick up where I was off. It was definitely Unity. So Unity is great. It's a free 3D platform. It's for personal use. You download that. And then you've got the AR kit from Apple, which is free again. And basically, AR kit acts as a plugin for Unity. And what's great about Unity Engine is it's been around for a long time. So a lot of the assets you can use to build these 3D worlds are already out there. They've been built by kids and people like myself over the past 5 to 10 years. It's absolutely huge. So there's a lot you can draw on that's already here. So if you can't build 3D objects, you have kind of an idea of what you want to do, just jump onto Unity, look at their assets shop. You can even buy assets if you really want to build that killer game and do it. But all the stuff's out there. Nothing's stopping you from doing something. And that Donald Trump game is certainly something which you're just going to laugh and scream about. It's going to be huge. This area is going to be massive.
You need a dollar for it, and we did a thing, the 1600 app, which gives you a history of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the White House, and that you just point it at a picture of a dollar bill. It doesn't have to even be a dollar bill, and you get this 3D animation comes up that's just incredible. I cannot get over how good that is. It's brilliant. So well recommended.
There's a plugin as part of the Unity engine which lets you take a photograph of anything. There's a demo he does with the AT-AT, and the idea is he just gets a photograph of Empire magazine, and he uses that as an instruction to tell you to now build that 3D object on there. So you can actually take a photograph of anything in your camera and let that be the AR kind of point of reference.
Marker.
It's huge. It's massive. But definitely watch his videos, Matthew Hallberg. He really gives you an idea of what's possible and how easy it is to start off with very little or no code at all.
Brilliant. And you've been very quiet today, Patrice. You all right, mate? Are you just thinking about what else you could be doing?
I mean, I didn't have much to add to that topic, so I just listened.
Oh, but AR's got to be, I mean, in medical, AR's got to be massive because you're looking about virtual operations, virtual procedures. I mean,
well,
from what you've just seen there, I mean, you could do immense amounts.
In certain areas, yeah.
I think for how to, it could be massively amazing. You know, imagine you need to do a car repair or something. You want to work on your brakes, and you pull the wheel off, and you point your phone at it, and a pops, you know, an exploded view and a step-by-step, and or for computer repair, any kind of how-to thing could be made amazing with AR. You know, the ability to move around and see the parts and animate and see how parts go together and all those sorts of things. So I think we're going to see some pretty cool, you know, all this stuff initially is going to be, I think, really game-focused and fun and games kind of stuff. But I think as developers have a tool now that makes it easy, because, you know, the thing about it is like building all the structure and the framework for this. So like how to figure out doing markerless, you know, identification and tagging, and like all those pieces you've had to build ground up from hand, you know, by hand. So by Apple having a platform where a lot of the heavy lifting, the initial heavy lifting is sort of managed and handled for you out of the box, that frees up developers. And this is where the important thing in something like ARKit or any of the kits that Apple has developed, it frees up the developer to focus on the application and not having to like implement a bunch of complex underlying technology. They can really focus on what is my app going to do and what's the utility, and take some of the focus off of that lower level stuff. And then that's when you see sort of amazing things happen. So it has a lot of promise at this point. As with all of these things, though, I'm you know, tentatively excited, because it's really going to take developers understanding it and figuring out the applications at this point. So Apple's always been very good at giving them the tools that they need. But, you know, some of these technologies, like we're just starting to now with ResearchKit and HealthKit, see real applications that are offering real benefit. And it took several years. Mm-hmm. So this isn't going to happen overnight, but it is going to accelerate things faster than, you know, they have been being accelerated because of, again, how easy it makes it for developers to sort of leverage these tools.
Yeah, it's basically democratizing those tools. I think that's the... In the end, as you said, it was really hard. To this day, it was very hard to do it. There were commercial solutions you could buy. Now it's in every platform, and I fully expect that Android will have it. So basically, it will be on the two biggest, most important platforms, and that will have a big impact on any kind of software eventually. We'll see which areas those are, but I mean, as you said, at first, games, probably something like shopping or lifestyle, anything with clothes or I don't know, IKEA, for example. Yeah. I could totally see using this.
Oh, they're already. Apple had already said they're heavily invested in it already. Yeah. AR kit.
Yeah.
Already build all their magazines are already. They're not actually shot stock. They're actually 3D objects already. Mm-hmm. So their catalog is already 3D objects. So all they have to do is convert them to a .dae. I think is what Apple uses. They use a .dae file format for their iBooks. Mm-hmm. So lots of programs like Cinema 4D and things like that already can export their objects to .dae already. I think IKEA have a 3D library that they could implement almost straight away. I can't see why, other than maybe dropping the polygon count down a little to compensate for that, but it should be interesting.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think some people aren't talking about and potentially missing about why Apple has an advantage in doing this and why developers may be more interested in developing these sorts of technologies on Apple's platform is the fact that they control the hardware and the software. And for something like this, this becomes infinitely important because, yes, you are going to see this on Android. But the problem is that Android developers are going to have a huge moving target in terms of the, you know, camera systems, the processing systems, the 3D rendering capabilities. All of these sorts of things are going to present a lot of additional challenges. With ARKit, you know that if you develop it with it, anything that supports that ARKit is going to work great. You know, Apple has built a system that they know. Yeah, our cameras are good enough to be able to do this kind of tracking. Our processors are good enough to be able to handle this kind of thing. And with Android, so much variation, you know, you're going to have a lot of apps that they're going to put out the app and it's going to work really great on some devices. And then other devices, the experience is going to be not nearly as good, right? And so that turns off consumers, I think, to a certain degree. So
yeah. I think they also stuck two fingers up to Oculus Rift.
Oh yes, they did.
No,
did you talk about on the last show about the VR demo?
Yeah.
I think in one of the interviews after the Tim Cook actually talked about that those were not done on the new iMac Pro. They were actually done on the standard new iMac. So that was impressive. That even the standard, probably fully spec'd iMac could do VR now in a reasonable fashion.
No, mate, we did those on the Mac Mini, mate. Just a standard, bog standard, $499 Mac Mini. That's it. It's all it is. No.
Yeah, no.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
This not podcast... Sorry, Patrice, go ahead.
I just wanted to say not in a, I think, three-year-old box.
No, maybe not. Although they are pretty powerful. Your face is sitting on one right now. No, that came out wrong. No. Moving on to Swift, I can edit. This podcast is supported by UK2, but not for much longer. If you'd like to support them because they support us, that would be great. Please, please, please go and check out everything that they've got to offer for the web. And when you buy from them using our offer codes or through our links, you are supporting BTN. and you're not paying any more for the process. You're just saying, I'm a BTN listener and I value what UK2 have done over the last 9 years for BTN, and are going to do for the next 8 years, 9 years potentially as well. As so please make sure you give your support to UK2. Also, please check your Patreon donations. If you donate through Patreon, there's a chance that PayPal have unsubscribed you, so please go back and check that you are donating. The choice is to donate through Patreon or just donate direct to our PayPal account with a standing order via BageltechNews@gmail.com. If you donate via that, then we get the full amount with just the deduction for PayPal, and we don't lose out to the commission that Patreon give us. But please check, because they do get rid of your standing order on a regular basis. So thanks to those who have, it means a great deal to us. And Yuniku is coming from Hoya. Next month I will be going down to Wrexham, and I will be stood there and get myself measured, and I'll get my glasses done and all that kind of stuff, and we'll film it. And Mark, who's there, will be taking us through what goes on and how it works and how the glasses come out at the end. And you will see them on my face right here. I cannot wait to go. Yuniku is the greatest thing ever. I can't wait. Do you want to win a Spider 5 Express? Oh, yes, Ewan. We do. Right, dead simple. We got three of these to give away. All you have to do is to send an email in that says Spider 5 Express is the subtitle or the title, and tell me the colours, the primary colours that there are on your monitor. So that's it. Three colours that are the primary colours on your monitor, and you could win a Spider 5 Express. We've got this week and we've got next week, and then we're going to do the draw at the bash, and the first winner will be announced. But if you don't win, don't worry, there are another two to win. You could be included, and it's well worth buying. I have one of these myself. I have used it as a review unit, so has Ian Lewis, and he swears by his, and I really like it. They are really, really good pieces of equipment, and as I said, we've got three to give away, so make sure you send your email in, please. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Patrice.
Right. My pick is something that I think was picked by, I don't know, was it Adam the other week? It's the Smartree pencil case. I ordered one of the new iPad Pros. It's still coming in, I think, next week or something. But I still got my pencil, and I wanted to have a nice case that I can carry it around. And this is, I mean, £10, $10, 10 euros, whatever. Probably 10 in whatever currency you're using. It's really, really well made. I was surprised how good it actually is. We'll see how it holds up over time. But it feels sturdy. It doesn't feel like a really, really cheap product. It actually feels like a really good product for the price, definitely. So highly recommend that. As you can see, fits everything. Pencil, the replacement tip and all of that. And some space for cables and whatever.
Okay, mate. Good pick. Price?
As I said, £10, I think. £10, £10, $10, €10.
Good pick, mate. Thank you very much. Adam, what have you got for us?
I'm actually going to pick sort of a website. It looks like they just released an official app, finally. Maybe this has been out for a while and I just missed it, but it showed up on the App Store for me. And it's a site that I use for creative inspiration. So, you know, I do some web development, and oftentimes I'm looking for kind of new ideas for user interfaces or just elements and things like that. And so a lot of people probably are already familiar with Dribbble, dribbble.com, which is a place for designers to kind of show off and talk about and showcase their work. And there now is a official Dribbble app, and I think it's Dribbble with 3Bs, I'm remembering right. It's got that funky internet spelling. Dribbble.com, and there's now a Dribbble app. So if you sign up for Dribbble, what you can do is you can sort of favorite your favorite designers and come back and visit them. You can kind of shuffle off different designs. And this is what I'll do is I'll go through there and look for different web and UI concepts that people have put together, just again, to use as kind of inspiration and just thoughts about ideas. especially a lot of the things that I look for these days are sort of different ways of handling mobile menus and mobile web interfaces and stuff like that. So creative ideas. And there's a lot of really, really brilliant people out there. But if you just enjoy like digital illustration or 3D, and it looks like they've added recently support for GIFs or GIFs, whatever you want to call them. So yeah, dribble.com with three B's, dribble.com. It's kind of a cool site. It's been around for a long time, but the app looks really nice. I just downloaded it on my phone to give it a try, and it's got kind of all the features that you'd want of being able to like integrate your account and save off stuff. So I'm sure I'll be using it quite frequently just as I'm waiting in line to find, you know, different design concepts and stuff.
Cool. Good choice. James, what do you have, sir?
Oh, well, you know, what's one thing we all hate? Queues, right? Nothing worse than standing in a queue. What's the best thing about standing in a queue? Having an app that you can quickly whip out your pocket and have a lot of fun with. And this week, I'm going for this. This is called Crash Club, and it's one of the... I kind of downloaded it on a bit of a whim. I saw it, and I thought, that is quite fun. Basically, it's a free, obviously, download game. It's got coins and stuff in it, but you don't have to pay anything, to be honest with you. I've been paying for quite a while now. And what's really nice about it is, I'm going to show the screen up here, is that it works in both landscape and portrait mode. See, when the interface shifts around, I think that's really good to see. And so you can play it in lots of different sort of orientations. But basically, you run around a map in this very dodgy little cartoon-esque car, and you pick up these little coins. And what's good about the coins is these tokens, you can go into a garage, and then in this garage, you can either repair your car, because it's obviously multiplayer, so the other car's chasing you around and trying to knock you off. But you can obviously upgrade your paintwork, repair. You've got a turbo boost as well you can refill. And it's a really, really nice game. It's super, super simple, but the graphics are really likable. I don't think there's a game that I've had for quite a while now that I just keep going back to. Because it's simple, you just use your thumb to swipe left or right, sort of push forward, I think, twice to put the ignition on. So it's a really nice, very simple game, beautifully done. The pay model's in there, but you don't need to worry about that. I've not paid anything, got a really good car so far. So there is Crash Club. It's in the actual chat room. I'll put it down there. But it is keeping me busy, and I love it when I see a queue now. What more can you say?
No, awesome. It's good. It's good. Well done, mate.
love a good game.
Too right.
My wife says I'm addicted.
You got to have something for the morning motion, haven't you, mate?
Mate, when you've got a render going on, so you've got a render that says, render time, 20 minutes, here comes Crash Club. It really is, yeah. It's perfect. Although, I don't
20,
know the
20 minutes
made
is
it.
A bit long, you get numb legs if you were on a chitter, so.
Oh, mate, yeah. Oh, no, I think 3 minutes will probably get you good. But it's by Pretty Great Pty.Limited. They've done a great thing. And I just think it's nice to see an interface which doesn't require you to aim, shoot, grenade. It just swipe left and right, and I think it's beautifully done. It's not on rails, so it is a proper 3D game. But just have a look; it's free. It's been costing up.
I was I played a semi final and a final the other morning on International Snooker 2012 on my iPhone, and I was on for a 1-4-7 break.
No,
a maximum break, and I wobbled the last black in the jaws, trying to screw for position for the yellow, and I was gutted. I was. Absolutely gutted, and I was on the toilet so long I struggled to get up.
You thought your knees go numb.
My legs went numb.
Knees go numb. Yeah.
It's a good game. Good game.
I think that's, it's nice to get games which you can just pick up, quickly play. Somebody says something to you, you drop it back in your pocket, you've lost nothing. I think it's a lot to say for that.
Excellent. My cool thing is not the SkyGo app. Okay, I've shown a picture of the SkyGo app here because the SkyGo app is something that if you subscribe to Sky, they give you the SkyGo app free of charge. And if you've got two services, they give you SkyGo Extra, which is four services. And basically, it lets you watch Sky on your mobile device. And it's a great, the application's okay, but it doesn't let you push it off onto another screen, so there's no mirroring or anything like that. And it's really, really draconianly strict. And one of the things that they do is you're only allowed to take off and put on one device per month. And that's take off 1 month and put on the next month. That's how bad it is. I get why they do that, but you should be able to remove one device and replace it in 1 month, not two, but never mind. So when I took my iPhone in this week and they said, we'll give you a new iPhone.
Oh, no.
Fantastic. Thanks.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And I got back and I put on Sky Go and it's like, no, this is an unregistered device. So I've got to unregister it on June 16th and I can't re-register it until July 1st. And also, although I haven't unregistered it, my MacBook Pro stopped working with Sky Go and it said, no, sorry, it's an unregistered device. So now I've got another device that I've got to unregister and re-register. So that means, technically speaking, I won't have both devices back working until October. And you're like, you're having a laugh, mate. But my cool thing,
awesome.
My cool thing is their customer support. Because I rang them up this morning and I said, here's two things that have happened. One, I haven't done anything with my MacBook Pro, but it will not let me log in. He went, no problem, we'll sort that out. And number two, I had to have a replacement iPhone because my camera stopped working and it won't let me log back in. No problem, we'll sort that out. Within 10 minutes, I got both of them back up running. They were both running SkyGo and it wasn't a problem for them. So although it is a draconian service and it's shitting how draconian it is, their customer support was fantastic. So well done, Sky. I'll give out shit when I take it, but I'll give out praise when it works as well. They were very, very good today on the phone. Excellent job. Thank you very much. Where can we get a hold of you, Patrice?
Well, as always, every week here on The Mac Show, in about 2 weeks, also in Birmingham at the Bash, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent. We've got to say the Bash. Yeah, the Bash is coming up 2 weeks, 1st of July in Birmingham. 30th of June, there is also a game of golf, if you fancy it, at the Forest of Arden in the morning. 10 o'clock tee off. We've got two slots left, so anyone that wants to join in, bring your clubs along. It's about £20, I think, and that's it, and you play the Forest of Arden. It'll be awesome. Really, really good. And Patrice is going to be coming over, and he's going to be carrying the beer around that golf. Yeah. He's going to be enjoying it. It'll be fun. Well done, mate. Glad you're coming over. Where are you, Adam?
You can find me over at maccast.com, Maccast on pretty much all the social medias, and also about weekly on the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Excellent. And lastly, but by no means least, James, where are you, sir?
So you can find me on my predominantly RenderBots channels. That's RenderBots with an S. Unfortunately, Twitter screwed up my account, so I'm RenderBots with a Z as opposed to an S on the end. So yeah, I'm on YouTube. I make lots of drone videos and lovely fans, and I also do tutorials on iOS, Mac, and Cinema 4D, and even Apple Motion, and Final Cut about to come out soon. So lots of great stuff. I've been training it for a while, so enjoy.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again with the big show at 8 p.m. because we've got a spare slot if you fancy it, Patrice. No? Yes.
I have to take care of a customer tonight.
Care of a customer tonight. Well, hey!
No, I have to fix this area.
That's how to use those bridging days. Yeah, get a bit of extra cash. Well done, mate. We know what you're saying. We know. It's a lot more liberal over there, isn't it, than it is over here. And we'll be at British Tech on Twitter as well if you want to follow the network. Back for the big show at 8 p.m. Without Patrice, because he'll be... No, I can't say that. I nearly said it. Oh, man. I'll dub that in afterwards. See you next week. Thanks for listening. I was so close to saying it. So close to saying it. Oh, man. That's the word. That's the one. That's the one.